Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of Story Break, the Writer's Room podcast, where three Hollywood pros have 1 hour to turn a humble idea into an awesome movie. I am your host, and I don't have anything. I'm Freddie Wong.
I'm Will Campos, and I'm not Freddie Wong. I'm a screenwriter. God damn it.
I'm Matt Arnold, and I'm a Dice Master first and Director Writer second.
Dice Master would Should be I the roll? Good name for a Story Break, but that's not how we decided.
We are the
here.
Dice Masters.
It's a very random movie. Here's how we do it. We roll a D20. We have a Google Doc of 20 potential stories to break. So every week it's something random. We have a dice tower that Matt has bought somewhere, like a huge nerd. And he
for
has
those
a
of
D20.
You dated in high school, a D20 is a 20-sided dice. Also, what was the name of our fantasy version of Story Break that we were originally going to do?
Story Lords, something like that.
Story Slayers.
And Story Slayers. And the premise was going to be that an evil wizard needed a script idea because he had like a general over at Netflix or something like that. So he trapped us back in time, and every week we had to defeat.
But then Kathleen Kennedy gave us notes, and you know how they just water everything down over there. So here we are,
Story Break. This week on Story Slayers, we roll the D20. Brace yourselves.
All right.
We could still be a themed podcast.
What
it's not
story
too late.
Shall we summon forth from the realm of chaos?
Die has been cast. Let's do it.
The lords have given us 17.
Which is?
17 is the On Beru movie, baby!
Oh, On Beru, shit. Back to Star Wars? Okay, god damn it. Really?
So this was a Twitter suggestion from at Sir Cactus, which was Beru. A Star Wars story.
You did a very good.
Well, I think this was a
for it as well.
No, this was this was a meme that came out like a year ago. That poster's been around for a while.
Oh, has it?
Yeah, I saw it on Facebook like a long time ago. And
okay,
like
Matt, Mr. I use Facebook. Aunt Beru.
Okay, so for those of you who don't know, Aunt Beru is Luke Skywalker's loving, doting aunt, who he lives with her and Uncle Owen on Tatooine at the beginning of Star Wars: A New Hope. And she's this sort of like matronly, almost grandmother-esque figure. She kind of gets Luke a little bit more than Uncle Owen does. She's really not known for much in the Star Wars universe other than her world-famous blue milk. At one point, I think we see her putting vegetables into like a vegetable processing machine. She's the one who tells Owen, like, you can't let him stay on the farm forever. He's got to go off and, you know, be his own man. And he's like, ah, that's what I'm worried about. At any rate, Aunt Beru most famously dies in A New Hope with Uncle Owen. They get killed by stormtroopers while Luke Skywalker's out of town with Obi-Wan Kenobi. He comes back, and her burning skeleton and Uncle Owen's burning skeleton are there on the farm. It's very tragic, and then that's kind of the event that spurs him into motion to join Obi-Wan Kenobi to go get the Death Star plans to Princess Leia.
We have the ending. The ending of our movie is she gets burnt alive.
Okay. Okay.
So there's a pretty shitty climax to this movie already.
No, because this is going to be like that Obi-Wan movie.
All right, gents, we have 1 hour starting now.
Oh, my God.
Okay, Beru.
Well, the question is really where do you want to start with this, right? Because there's definitely, it feels like this, just looking at the Wikipedia entry. It's like the moment that Beru gets Luke to raise, it's just them on the farm.
Well,
it's boring.
Okay.
That's my sense, at least.
Beru would often defend Skywalker's interests against Owen, who was overprotective of him out of fear that he would follow in Anakin's footsteps. A year after the Great Drought, Owen was kidnapped by the Wookiee bounty hunter Black Kernstan.
Shut up.
For unpaid water taxes to Jabba the Hutt. Beru sought after her husband armed with a rifle, telling a 9-year-old Luke to stay safe with the homestead within the homestead. And 8 years later, Obi-Wan Kenobi, okay, blah, blah, blah. All right, yeah. Then she had like maybe half of a spooky run-in with Darth Maul.
What? No way.
Yeah,
what?
This is stuff from, you know, the
extended
your
universe.
Extended
crap.
Universe. All I'm saying is you got, okay, all right. But okay, here's what does make me happy. It does
Johnny
not
guitar.
Look like there's a whole like deep amount of Beru lore.
Yeah.
I was
no,
really
definitely.
Worried they'd be like, oh, well, you gotta retcon the Beru wars if you're gonna.
Yeah, when she was a bounty hunter,
she
everyone
was a
knows
clone
about that.
Of a Sith robot or whatever. So no, she's basically a desert space mom. Who raised Anakin.
Okay, so really quick.
Or who raised Luke. So
here's what I'm seeing. I'm seeing soccer practice in the desert.
No. She's got a rifle and...
So it's about space farmers. Okay.
Like,
says
so right. Grapes of Wrath, but with...
She's like Ma Jode. Okay.
What's the time... Okay, is this...
When?
Is this yes?
Yeah.
Is this after Pre-Luke? Having met Anakin?
Post, yeah. When?
Well, she meets Anakin and Padme. Is this like spinning off? Like, are we coming in from the beloved prequels and then spinning a tale from that moment?
I have an idea.
Okay.
It's a title. Okay, how okay. Buru got her guru back. And she's just a stressed out lady working on a space farm, man. She doesn't get to go out to the city. Oh, you look at that relationship with her and Owen Larson. Owen's this fucking space grump who's always worried about the moisture evaporators and her moisture's evaporating, if you know what I mean. Oh, because they have not gotten down as married folk in a while. Because
Baru's definitely going out.
It's Baru's day out. It's her day. This is her special day to go into the city, goddammit, for fucking once. And Owen's sticking with the kid, and she's going to come back. And maybe, and then she gets into this whole crazy adventure. It's like that movie Girls Trip, but with Baru on a fucking buck wild night with all of her gal pals from back in the day, and they go to Mos Eisley for a bachelorette party, and they get into some fucking heavy shit, and like, you know, like she...
And
like
she
like,
shoots her way out.
They accidentally kill a super buff Mandalorian bounty hunter, and you know, they...
who doubles as a strip.
Who does, yeah, like a stripper, like a...
You know what my favorite part of Stella got her groove
Django
back was?
Django Thick.
The best part about Stella got her groove back was at the beginning of the movie where they do that flash forward where they let you know that she gets burnt alive from raiders at the end of her life. And like, hey, just stick this in your craw for a second. Just think about this. Now go ahead and let's have a fun story.
I'm not sure. This is going to be about her death or it's a celebration of Baru's life.
I know, but we have to. No, I
no,
think
you that's don't, no, I genuinely I don't think you need to meditate on the fact that she dies at the end of this thing.
I think like, if you are a fan going into Star Wars and the only notion you have a Baru. I'm not saying that we have to do a story about Baru, but like you have to acknowledge, at least think about that as her. You don't think that there's any sort of acknowledgement of that she's going to.
No. Why? Who cares?
Because otherwise, why are you telling a story about her?
Because she's a fun character and it's Star Wars. Like, what do you need to, like,
is she a fun character?
She is Luke Skywalker's aunt, right? Like, yeah. I guess, right? So, like, you gotta tangentially connect it to that. But that's what I'm saying is, like, this is an opportunity to just explore the world of Star Wars from the perspective of a working woman in her 40s. Like, you don't need to, like, be like, it's not like every time Darth Vader shows up, they're like, hey, remember he gets killed at the end
no,
of this.
No, but if...
Hey,
but,
Matt, yeah. Matt loves Lord of the Rings. Hey, you know Frodo?
Yeah.
Colon cancer. He goes across the way and he dies painfully of colon cancer.
The point is that regardless of whatever you do, my point is this. It's not that you have to acknowledge it.
Legolas gets Alzheimer's.
My point is that the story, whatever you do about her, she does get left behind by Skywalker and then is murdered by Imperial troopers. Like, that is her ending. Regardless of what this movie is, that is still the character's ending. Okay. So the point, well, as in like, did you... Is it something? Is it just this like wild woman who just wants to have fun because her husband's like mad, or is she like, or is she actually, you know, somebody who was once a fighter and disagreed with the Empire or whatever it is, and then she gave up her life? And the end of this movie is that she gives up her life, and then when you think about it, like, oh, that's extra tragic that she died. It just seems weird to literally do. Okay, like you might as well, like, it's not Star Wars. We'll just do Stella got her groove back and she has a good time, and we'll ignore the fact that the only thing you know her of is that she dies from the Imperial stormtroopers. It feels weird to just completely. I mean,
Okay, hold on. Now, I will put this out here as the producer here. We will be able to add any objects around her burnt corpse. So if you want her to have her go down in like a blaze of gunfire, we
you
can
guys,
totally add
you guys,
that.
First of all, that was a fucking Baru's skeleton.
Oh, well, see, there you go.
We don't know whose skeleton that was.
Okay, shit. See, this is what I'm talking about. This is what I'm talking about, Will.
Oh, shit.
I know you love your Stella got your groove back, but I wanted to get you outside of your comfort zone
Holy
of your favorite movie. Because here you go. This is a sequel.
So many fucking blog posts
this
about
is,
this movie.
Oh, okay.
This is the Ender's Shadow to Ender's Game. This is
okay.
Actually Baru. Was
okay.
It, okay.
Okay, I have an idea.
Like Baru and Owen were spies.
I have an idea.
Okay.
Owen had a chick on the side.
Holy
she burned
shit.
It down.
No.
Holy
but she
shit.
Was out doing work. She was fixing the moisture evaporators while his side chick was at the house.
Yeah.
And
Holy
she was there
shit.
When it got fucking burned down.
You know who doesn't
Luke saw those corpses and bailed, and then she's like, what the fuck do I do with my life now?
You know who doesn't get enough credit other than in our podcast where this will now be like the fifth movie about moms? Moms. Because Baru
and aunts.
Because Baru was taking care of Luke, and Luke wasn't even remember, isn't she the one that's like, hey, you know, maybe let him go out, and Owen's like, yeah, you can.
Yeah.
It's like Baru seems like a pretty, and she's like, you know, I mean, she's taking care of him. She doesn't have to. She's like an aunt. She's great.
So
the idea that like, and know what? Luke does not spend enough time.
I like the idea, real quick, I just want to make a point. I do like the idea, like, the first few scenes is her, like, just missing Luke and everybody, like, piecing out. And there must be a shot, a grizzled shot of, like, you know, crowded bar, night. Blue milk slams on the counter. She wipes her.
Oh my God. Are you kidding? Because the way, you know how this trailer for this movie starts? It's the famous shot. It's the it's Luke showing up and seeing them. And then he, and then Obi, then you see the moment after Obi-Wan's like, we gotta go. And they get in a car.
And they bail.
In a car. They get in the land speeder and they drive off.
And then she shows up.
And she's looking over the, and she thinks Luke's dead because there's two corpses.
This is very good.
Wait, okay, really quick. The only other, that was one direction. I just want to put it out there, just so that you have this image in your mind. You get a full CG Alec Guinness, and as he's driving off Luke, you get an add a shot where he turns around his corner and he like nods at her, and then she nods back like, "Yo, what's this thing going on there?" And he's like, "He knew the whole time."
Wait. So she knows that.
I don't know. I like the fact that she thinks Luke is dead better.
She thinks Luke is dead.
And died holding hands with Aunt Uncle Owen.
And then she goes to get revenge on the stormtroopers.
Yes.
Holy shit. It's a Mom Vengeance movie.
It's a Mom Vengeance movie. Okay. Shit. Okay. How does deep down this needs to be like Xander and Buffy, where like she's the one who's responsible for Death Star being blown up, even though nobody understands, right? Like even though nobody knows.
They already did a whole movie about that.
No, that was how they got the plans. How does that stupid movie end?
Here's what. Okay, just to derail for a second. Yeah, yeah. Here's my entire problem with Rogue One.
Okay. We're doing this.
The whole fucking thing is like they gotta go. Like they don't know what it is, and then they gotta go to get the plans, and then there's a moment where she sees like a holographic message from her dad, right, who built the fucking thing and had the weakness, right. Yeah. All he had to do was draw her a fucking picture and hold it up. All he had to do was just say, "Hey, there's a little hole, and you shoot it, and it blows everything out. Yeah. The exhaust port is just below the main port. Kaboom!" Like the guy in A New Hope explains it in like 2 seconds. Yes. You're like, "Got it. That's the thing." Why do they need to download the entire map of the fucking Death Star from like some fucking hard drive pachinko machine?
Remember the Enigma? I mean, not that we were there, so remember is a weird term.
I do actually know quite a bit.
But the Enigma in World War II. That doesn't work if the Enigma is like this super advanced coding.
Yes, we all played Medal of Honor. We all know what the Enigma machine is.
Yeah, I read a number of books on cryptography.
I saw U571.
Yeah, the Enigma doesn't work if the Enigma is just a piece of paper that says 32. Like, that's what the Death Star thing is. It's like, nobody has to go steal it if it's just like, hey, by the way, guys, that thing is 32. Just spread it to everybody. It's 32. Go 32.
Anyway.
Rogue One just ends with getting the plans. That doesn't mean like, okay, like you need the key. What's the moment? Where, like, if this didn't happen...
Literally, there's no gap. There is no second that you can wedge a Beru spinoff into the events of A New Hope. Because Rogue One ends with A New Hope. Like,
But here's my point.
No, I'm saying this
It's not about the plans, baby.
What did
she do to those torpedoes?
I don't think we need... I don't want to tie this into the Death Star.
Okay.
Too many Death Stars. There's Imperial troopers on Tatooine.
That's true. It's like a small scale gritty revenge.
She's going after the squad that did the hit. Do you know what I mean?
Here, can I have to say this? Yeah. I don't want to throw out your Silgar groove back. I just want this to feel like a Star Wars movie. Now nobody's saying that you can't do like a Grace and Frankie. Stella got her groove back now that she thinks her two boys are dead. Mm-hmm. Like, what's stopping you from being like, yo, I'm done. Like, I've done my thing. They died, and now I'm just going to chill out.
Okay, all right. I think this is a good, but no, I do think we have arrived at a good hook.
Yeah, it's a great hook.
Beru wasn't there. Yes. It was a different corpse. I think that that's a cool fucking hook for a movie, and it gets you out of the bummer zone of like, oh, yeah, she's having this fun movie, but we know she just winds up as a smoldering corpse in the desert.
Fuck Owen.
Yeah, and Owen's just, I mean, Owen's, he's so grumpy and shitty. You know what I mean? Like, yeah.
Okay. It's a good hook. So what happens now? So yes, you could do a revenge mom movie, which is weird though, because we know she's not. She's still getting revenge because Owen's dead.
Yeah. So in my head, by the way, totally have a scene where it's like a bunch of Tusken Raiders and she pulls their mask off and it turns out she's undercover as a Tusken Raider or something.
Oh, okay. Shit. Right. I'm right. So someone write that down.
You do the.
She goes undercover as a Tusken Raider for sure.
Oh, absolutely. You can get some Jabba in this too.
Oh, some Jabba.
Yeah. Some full on proper Jabba.
Yeah.
Ooh, because she's
haven't had Jabba in one of those spinoff movies.
Yeah,
because she's diving into the Tatooine underground. Yeah, she's getting to see the underground, trying to figure out where these stormtroopers are.
Will she be able to keep her humanity alive?
Yeah.
Oh, you know what you could do? You could do like a La Femme Nikita thing too, where like when she gets, I don't know why I said Leon the Professional kind of thing, yeah, where you do like, once she infiltrates Jabba's or whatever, there's like, again, there's like a Twi'lek girl who's been captured or who's serving cocktails or whatever. And like, you know, Beru becomes kind of like a surrogate mother figure to her. And then like, you know, like you give her like, damn, a personal story.
She gets she just gets another daughter. She replaces Luke.
Like a cooler daughter.
No, at the end, she's like, at the end, it's like Beru just tosses a cigarette at her and goes, I'm done being a mom. Good luck, kid. And then she rides off on a motorcycle with some hot stuff that she just picked up. On a swoop.
With Dash Rendar. Right, can we get Dash Rendar into this movie?
Oh, shit. Okay.
Dash Rendar is definitely the...
Explain who Dash Rendar is.
He's from Shadows of the Empire.
Okay, so if anyone had a Nintendo 64, they'll remember the hit game Shadows of the Empire, which featured a cocky Han Solo stand-in. Dash Rendar in his ship, the Outrider. But I think he would be who's the sexy younger guy in Stella Got His Groove Back?
I've never seen
Stella. I've never seen it either.
Wow.
I just know the name.
I know that it's Taye Diggs. Isn't Taye Diggs in Stella Got Her Groove Back?
My mom rented
Stella
it once for us.
Got I don't. Her Groove Back. You wanted to leave your mom alone while she watched that movie. It's a sexy movie.
Yeah, that's
Even know if she's older in it. No, I don't think she's even older.
She's, no.
I just want to point out that Taye Diggs' name in Stella Got Her Groove Back, which we all have to watch now, is Winston Shakespeare.
Wow.
The fucking coolest name of all time. All right, anyway, what I was going to say is you do like, because, yeah, all right, Stella's a highly successful 40-something San Francisco stockbroker who blah, blah, blah. Hold on. No, this is important. Stella is a highly successful 40-something San Francisco stockbroker, is persuaded by her colorful New York girlfriend Delilah to take a well-deserved first-class vacation to Jamaica. As she soaks in the beauty of the island, she encounters a strapping young islander, Winston Shakespeare. His pursuit for her turns into a hot and steamy romance that forces Stella to take personal inventory of her life and find a balance between her desire for love and companionship and the responsibilities of being a mother and a corporate exec. That's the fucking movie. And Dash Rendar is going to be her Taye Diggs. That's what I'm saying. Or it's like a Romancing the Stone type thing, right? Because whatever quest she's going to go on, she's just been a farmer's wife for the last... Or a farmer, sorry. He's been a farmer's husband. She's been a farmer for the last 40 years or whatever. She doesn't know anything about going out and kicking ass, but she's got moxie, right? So she takes their life savings and she goes to... Kind of like Luke with Han Solo, she goes to Mos Eisley to try to get revenge. And then who's this cutthroat space pirate scoundrel rogue Dash Rendar? He's the Michael Douglas to her. Who's the girl in Kathleen Turner? Is that
I like? I like the idea of Darth Rendar. Jesus Christ,
Darth Rendar.
Yeah,
I think we should use Dash Rendar. I think we should use a viewer name instead.
We'll save a viewer name for the bad guy stormtrooper.
Okay, but I think we're getting ahead of ourselves.
Oh, I have a good one. The bad guy stormtrooper, the man that she's going after, Leonard Stravish.
We're getting ahead of ourselves. What is she actually doing?
Okay.
Because, like, it's not Stella Got Her Groove Back, because that's about a woman trying to get her groove back. This is, if we're doing that, she's just...
I'm saying...
No, I know.
A secret Stella Got Her Groove
Back. Yes, I like that.
It's a groove getting back arc in a pulpy sci-fi revenge movie.
Sure. So, yes. So, that's what I'm trying to put. So, we need to figure out what she wants. Because why is revenge her groove? Like, what is it seems like she didn't like Owen that much. Like, is this something like does she not believe that Luke's dead? Does she hear something? Like, what is she doing? What does she want? Is she really just like, I'm going to kill the guys who killed my family? Doesn't feel like the brewer I know.
But so. They burned down her house. She has nowhere to go.
Yeah, so that's a good first.
Okay, well, let's start with. Okay, yeah, yeah. All right. Yes, you're right. We're having a lot of fun here. Yeah, we're getting crazy. Yeah. We're in Jamaica having a few too many. Taye Diggs just walked into the bar. I haven't seen the movie.
But there's a check for $120 million on our desk right now from Kathleen Kennedy, so we got to get to work. So.
Okay. It's an indecent proposal, and Darth Vader is like, Uncle Owen, I'll pay you $100 million space dollars to sleep with your wife. Okay. All right. All right. Okay, well, what do we know about Beru? She's chill. She's cool. She's the cool aunt, right?
Yeah, cool
like,
aunt.
She's nice. Uncle Owen is, like, basically all we know about her is that she's nice.
Yeah.
He's shitty. She's nice, right? Yes. So how did she get married to this shitty guy?
And she's caring, and she likes Luke.
And she gets him, right? She's like, you can't hold on to him forever, right?
Yeah.
So, like, all right. So.
Ooh, she says you can't hold on to him forever. What does she not hold on to? What did she let go that put her in the situation where she is now?
There was the one who got away?
The one who got away.
You do like a Twin Peaks thing. Mm-hmm. Like in Twin Peaks, there's
She's settled for Owen.
Oh, yes. That's what I... In Twin Peaks, it's like it was like this love connection that never happened, right?
Yeah.
So maybe you do... She and this guy had this fling when they were space teens on Tatooine, and you would do that. Uncle Owen was like the kind of friend zone dude, like waiting in the wings, so to speak. And then when he went off to space war and died... she hooked up with Uncle Owen.
Here's something I want to throw at you.
But then he came back, he wasn't dead, and then he married someone else.
Oh, the guy. Yeah. So
she just fucked up her life, basically.
To get into some good trivia here is that I guess Beru's always existed in all the early drafts. But
Beru has always existed since the dawn of time.
But they were originally anthropologists. So why don't we do that? She was going to be she had her life ahead of her. She's going to be an anthropologist, a scientist, or whatever. And she, we'll call
Leonard Stravish.
Okay, Leonard was her true love, another anthropologist, another smart academic that she was going to
do something with.
And then again, the meta is just like her in the draft. She was this complex character, and then, you know, she just turned into the aunt that had to be for the plot for that moment. So,
fridge stuffing, as it were.
Yeah, fridge burning alive. I just assumed they were alive.
You didn't think the stormtroopers sedated them first?
No, they're definitely shot. So Beru,
okay,
is this lady who gave up a lot, and then she definitely gave up a lot. And then,
what if she was studying the Tuscan people?
Ooh,
that's why she has the insight into them.
She can actually speak the language because
Oh shit.
Yeah, that's cool, right?
Yeah, that is cool.
That's cool. I'm a cool guy, right? You guys like me, right?
We're getting somewhere. Every time I see a picture of this lady, it just makes me laugh.
Seems so nice. I was so upset when she died.
It's like, now we got to make her. This is like Atomic Blonde, but Tusken Raider with a 6-year-old lady.
So she was an anthropologist. So in that case, maybe you do that. Like, maybe she did fall in love with Owen.
Mm-hmm.
And like, Owen was like at the time, like the strapping farmhand, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you do like he used to
Uncle
be
Uncle Owen.
Like Uncle Owen was like
Uncle Six Pack Owen here.
Yeah, and they had an affair because she was like visiting Tatooine
to study the Tusken Raiders.
Right? And she got she got wounded or injured, and then he came to her rescue, right?
Yeah.
And then they fell in love and had a romance, but then she got pregnant. Did they have a kid ever?
Well, we could make them have a kid.
They had a miscarriage.
Okay, maybe the movie is before the movie. No, this might have to be a trilogy. There's a lot of good stuff.
Too much stuff going on. I was going to say maybe they lost the child or something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
They lost him young. But yeah, you would do...
To thirst, which is why they farm moisture.
Moisture, yeah. It all comes back. It all comes back.
My child died of eczema, so forever we will have moisture.
So then, you could do that. Like they got married. Like she fell in love with him, and his whole thing was he's like, "Oh, Uncle Owen used to be Mister. Like I've got big plans. I'm gonna get off this rock.
Yeah,
right. But he never fucking did.
Yeah,
that's why he's so hard on Luke because he sees himself.
Oh
in there.
Yeah.
Damn, good. Yeah, he's like, yeah. It's the classic like I never made it off the rock. Because again, he's actually trying to protect him. He's like, you're gonna be disappointed just like I was. Like you're not gonna get out there.
Freddie, can I get a time check?
Now I feel
bad. Yeah, we're looking at 22 minutes in here.
Okay.
Now I feel bad for Owen.
You know, he's a complex character. Everyone has a story.
Yeah.
That's what we do here at Storybrand. We fill in the depth. We take these cutouts and we extrude them into deep, complex characters.
So, flash forward.
Is this going to be like a Godfather 2 thing?
What do you mean? we don't need to see any of this. But it is like you do that. This is her it's her secret badass backstory, right? Like she was an anthropologist. She was like Lady Indiana Jones almost. You know what I mean? Like, or her dad was she was like Indiana Jones's daughter when she was like a teenager or whatever. And they came to this planet to do this archaeological thing.
Yeah, this is
straight
like history of violence because they're going to be like, everybody's like, you can't study the Tusken Raiders. They're too dangerous. They're not even like people, essentially. Like, they're just animals. And she's like, hell no.
No, they're people. Yeah.
Yeah. She's like, hell no. So I can study them. I can blend in with them. She's a Jane, who's the lady who studied the girl.
Go, can you imagine how fucking pissed she'd be after Anakin slaughters that whole tribe?
And of course she knows it wasn't the Tusken Raiders.
Yeah.
Because she studied
the Tusken Raiders. Yeah.
She says the exact same line as Obi-Wan.
Blast marks are too accurate for sand people.
Okay.
She wouldn't call them that. That's a derogatory
that's
term.
True. Oh, that's
she'd
true.
Be like, for the Tusken Raiders.
For the Tuscani.
For the Tuscani. Okay, so she's got to go back and she's got to start.
Okay,
doing
so
some
all right, no, but
work.
We okay, yes. So she had this life that she missed out on. She fell for the wrong guy.
Yeah.
He wound up not really doing anything with his life, and then she was, you know, like kind of. But again, she is this person with this inherently sweet disposition.
Yes,
you know what I mean. She's not someone who she's not like a you know like.
I definitely understand her in terms of. Okay, I think we've gotten her to. I get how this person can go on an adventure now.
Mm-hmm.
What gets her out the door? I like this backstory. I like that she was somebody who's adventurous. I like that she settled down. I like that she's a life of disappointment. I like that she had a sense of duty of raising Luke. I like that then when she comes and she loses her family. But what I don't quite get is like...
Can I throw something out
there?
This feels like the story of someone who puts up with a lot of shit, and it's going to be a story about how they don't put up with any shit anymore. Even when she was, like, you know, hopping around the galaxy with her mother, we'll say, just to avoid being, you know, heteronormative, the gendered role normative, that she was, like, again, like, they dumped all the work on her, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, she, you know, she's a bit of a pushover, right? And then, you know, and she gravitates.
Oh, she's a pushover.
Huh?
She's a pushover. Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, like, come on, like, she's raising another, she's raising, you know, Space Hitler's child.
Yeah.
Right? She's like, yeah, sure, we can take that on. We're fucking broke farmers. Yeah. Sure, this fucking asshole Jedi is going to show up and dump, you know, for all I know, Damien from The Omen on my door. Raise him.
She lets Owen walk all over
her. She lets Owen walk all over her. She,
she's clearly the smart one. Owen's
and she's
just,
very smart, and she's, but she, and she has a very empathic nature, right? Yeah. She's one of those people who doesn't take enough for herself.
Yeah.
And so, you would do, I don't know, I'm just moving on.
Yeah.
But she is now put in this position, right, where there is no one to tell her what to do. There is no one to, she's free for the first time, but it's also like she's, you know, a bit out of her element that way.
Yeah.
And I think by the end, she's going to be this daring, confident, assertive person.
Yes. So I'm just trying to think, what is it that she, after she loses her farm, and she thinks, at least for right now, that we're saying Luke and Owen, what is she getting pushed out the door to do?
Okay.
And I like that she's going to start with being not as assertive as she used to be, and she's going to start rediscovering herself. But is it, again, it's like I don't buy her just as straight up like, I'm going to go kill the stormtroopers who did this. I feel like she needs something
more interesting. Do you do, Owen had a gambling problem.
Okay.
And she never heard about it, right? He kept the finances hidden from her about the farm. She didn't know he was up to his eyeballs in debt. To Jabba the Hutt.
Okay.
So you do when the family dies, she's grief stricken. She's staying at a friend's or a neighbor's. She doesn't even have anyone. She doesn't know, barely knows anyone on this planet, right? Like your next neighbor is, you know, 400 space miles away.
One space mile is actually the exact same distance as a regular
mile. By the way, you get
coincidence, you know.
You get a ton of great lever, just like easy gags, easy fan pleasing moments as she's also in a. Mos Eisley at the same time, and you keep getting they just barely miss each other.
Oh, her and Luke or whatever. Yeah. But I was gonna say, so her husband was up to his eyeballs in debt from Jabba the Hutt.
Yeah.
And Jabba's like, where's my fucking money?
Yeah.
Right? Like, she doesn't have a farm. All her shit's burned down. These gangsters do not care.
Yeah.
So they're going to fucking get their money from her one way or the other. And so then you do, like, there's bounty hunters after her. Maybe there is some artifact, right?
Mm-hmm.
Her one thing of value from her life as an anthropologist, like a jewel from some other planet or whatever, right?
Yeah.
And they steal it.
Yeah.
Or they want it or something, that just to give it a little juice, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then I could also see, oh, because this is going to be a fun thing, actually. Rather than she has a surrogate mother figure, she finds a surrogate daughter figure and this badass lady bounty hunter who's coming after her to collect.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And then you almost maybe do like a Midnight Run type thing with it, where it's the two of them and it's you know what I mean? Like, she's got a match with.
She sees a girl that's going to waste her life also. Like she did.
No, well, yeah, but to me, I'm also like, it's this woman who's like a fucking Terminator. Do you know what I mean? Like someone who is like, again, her mirror self, like her story. And maybe it's not even like that this is the core relationship, but this is the personal antagonist, right? That it would be this, you know, this like, you know, and then maybe she finds, again, this, I don't know. I'm just worried about it now, but yeah.
No, that's good. That's better than what I was thinking. Cause all I was thinking right now was that because you're going to hate this because I hate this, but it should just be that, I don't know how you get there, but the ending is that definitely, she shows up in a bar on Mos Eisley, and who's there? It's a it's a Han Solo, and he's like, I just laughed, I couldn't do it. And then she slaps him around. He's like, you go help my boy.
No, that's 100%.
He just take away the agency of Han Solo. And she's like, are you fucking kidding me? Wait, you're telling me you left? You left and Han Solo.
Okay.
Just,
how much time?
And Chewie goes,
how much time actually?
Yeah, it's like,
because it feels like
minutes.
Only 20 minutes or yeah. so. Like, is
well, no, because they. I mean, you could. How far away is Yavin from? I mean, he's got hyperdrive.
I don't know.
No, how long is it? Because he
No. Because bear with me, because I very much want to put this into the movie. So, like, could you do yeah. somehow like the next gig that Harrison Ford has is picking up this prisoner, right? Mm-hmm. And it's Amperu, right?
Yeah.
And we don't know that, right? It's like Amperu's been captured, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, she's like, oh, we're getting picked up by a YT-1300 stock light freighter.
Yeah, yeah.
When is this?
Huh?
When would this be?
This would be concurrent. We don't realize it, but this would be right. Because, again, Han Solo bails, right? Oh, there's also, he's going back to give the money to Jabba.
Yeah.
Right? So just like.
Okay. There's something that could all happen here. Also, I just really like the idea because I'll just say that. I fucking hated Han Solo in Force Awakens. So I, and also, we were just talking about how, I mean, not to get all on the soapbox, but Han Solo's essence as a character is a problem in Empire Strikes Back. So I like the idea of. I just like the idea of this, like, especially if you talk about somebody who's not going to take shit anymore. It's just her calling her, like, you selfish piece of shit. Like, what the fuck? It just slaps
oh,
her
around. Oh, you know what you could do? Okay, this is insufferable. This is like, this is the worst movie ever. But you do, she's on the Falcon when he lands. And then she sees Luke from afar.
It's the end of Speed Racer.
But she's like, with Racer X. Yeah.
Like, are you going to go see your family? And it's like.
He's happy now. Do you know what I mean? Like, she's not going to cramp his style.
Oh, and then he's like, are you going to go to Luke? And then she puts on sunglasses. She's like, yo, I'm free. I got no kids or husband anymore.
I don't think Han Solo knows that she is Luke's.
Oh, that's true. He wouldn't know. Yeah.
That's dope. That's,
I mean, I like her being like, it's like, don't you want to go, like, and she's
like
no, I'm good. I'm going to go party. I just saved the day. My kid's on his own. They're out of, you know, it's like.
Oh, then you, okay, this would also, sorry, okay, I don't want to interrupt. This would also settle something that always bugged the crap out of me, which is that Han Solo, I just like that Han Solo shows up just as the biggest piece of shit at the end of this movie. You would do, because I always bugged me that Han Solo has all of that money in those giant boxes.
Yeah.
And I'm like, why didn't he just nip out to fucking Tatooine and give the money to Jabba? Like, why did it take him a gazillion? Why is in Empire Strikes Back like 3 years later? Like, really?
I didn't even think about that.
Yeah, why isn't he giving the money back
to Jabba? He didn't learn anything.
He got paid. So here's what I'm going to say. Here's what I can say is you do at the end, Han Solo walks off, and then she looks down at that money.
Shit.
Holy shit.
Yes. Brew definitely is like, know what? I'm getting Mama gets some this time.
Just,
yeah. And she just takes them.
And just a hard cut to a chrome spaceship.
And then Han Solo, it ends like Han Solo opens up the thing, and then it's just there's no money. There's nothing in there. There's just like a note with like a little lipstick kiss on it.
Yes.
And he's like, Brew, you sly fox. And he goes, dun 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 dun.
Okay, that's so good. That's so good. I love that Bruce also responsible for Han Solo getting frozen in carbonite because she steals the freaking money. That's great. See, because this is she's a woman who's just stepped on and then murdered supposedly. Mm-hmm. So I love that she freaking slaps Han Solo around. And she's responsible for the Death Star getting blown up, essentially, because she just talks like a big mom who's just like, yo, you fucking go do what you're supposed to do, you freaking man child. And then she gets hers. She gets a chrome spaceship with the spinners. And
I'll do you even one better.
Holy shit.
Hot boy surface.
She's in the quad cannon that fucking shoots the guy that knocks Darth Vader off course.
Oh, shit. Yes.
That's why she feels justified taking a cut of the reward money, right?
Because
she's
like,
so what's
my God. Because
I'm like, you got to justify that she steals from Han without it being a dick move.
Yeah.
So she's like, so what's my cut? Like, I fucking got in on that. He's like, man, fuck your cut. Like, you know, like, that. I did this. This was my big moment.
No, what's great is Han Solo.
And she's like, fuck this asshole.
Yeah, he was like, this is my moment. Now, if you'll excuse me, they got a medal ceremony to extend. And you hear it in the distance, and she looks at the money.
Oh, shit. Yes, because that's the Racer X scene, is that she's seeing him, she's seeing Luke get a medal, and she smiles, and they're like, are you going to go say hi to him?
Oh, yeah,
like,
that's great, because your ending is, as that throne room music is playing, like, oh, bum, my God. Ba-ba-bum, ba-ba-bum, and you're just like slow-mo Baru, just fucking loading up that cash, fucking hot-wiring an X-Wing and blasting off into the fucking new space. Yeah, that's very good.
Yes, very good. I was going to say, you have Han Solo. He's like, a cut? It's like, are you kidding? Are you kidding, old lady? And he goes, he explains, like, I got this for repairs. I got this amount for this. I got this amount for job. I just got this. And what she leaves is just enough for the repairs. Just like, here's a repairs trip. It's like, everything else is mine, motherfucker. He's like, shit, I owe Jabba so much money still. Okay, so Brew's awesome now.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, we got her backstory, and we have an ending.
We have the most barnstorming Star Wars ending of all time.
We fixed A New Hope,
which was in dire need of repair. Oh, absolutely.
Okay,
so now you got to connect A to B.
How do we connect those two things?
We have 25 minutes remaining to connect the dots here on this one, boys.
Whew. It is still like what starts her journey.
Okay, do you think she thinks she's like, my son is still alive, and I have to go find him.
Because that would be about she lets him go.
Yeah. She thinks that they kidnapped him.
Yeah.
Right? If you were to do something like that, right?
Yeah.
She realizes that I don't know exactly how you would play it.
Yeah, because you don't
want
her.
It's tough because you don't want her also be like, come on, Baru, we all know he's
kidnapped. Yeah, exactly. You don't want her just to like, you don't want her to investigate shit that we've already seen 30 years ago.
Yeah,
where it's like,
yeah,
oh,
yeah,
she
yeah.
finds
Not
out, oh, there's an old man, Obi-Wan, and I guess he was important and blah, blah, blah.
Okay. I'll do you this though.
Okay.
It's tough because it's not like I want that tangible goal, like that movie-wide goal, like that thing she's trying to hold on to. But again, like if you were to do, there's bounty hunters coming after her for her fucking scratch, right? Like because Owen owed money to every gangster in town to keep the farm up and never told her about it. So she's got to fucking bail, right? She's got a choice. So she chooses to run. She sells the priceless heirloom from the old country or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
And she teams up with a smuggler or someone to get off the planet.
Yeah.
I could see that as the start of something.
I think part of it is also if you just think about it in terms of, okay, when we come into this movie, we're just thinking about, like, you don't know anything about Star Wars. I mean, of course, you didn't if you're going to fucking watch this movie. But you come in and you're just with, I mean, I was just going to say, you can start the, whatever it is, whether it's, like, they're low on money or they owe, or she finds out Owen owes Jabba the Hutt a ton of money. Like, that's your beginning of your movie. And the place burning down is just, again, it's just the inciting incident for her. Mm-hmm. Like, you can establish, like, it doesn't have to be like, oh, she thinks Luke's kidnapped her. She knows what's going on with the Darth Star.
Let me throw just okay. You do. She gets your, if you're opening, she comes back home. Her husband's dead. Mm-hmm. She finds out he's been cheating on her with this other woman. The gangsters come after her.
Yeah.
She gets captured. She's mm-hmm. sold into slavery to Jabba mm-hmm. the Hutt. And he's like, you're too old and ugly to be one of my dancers. Like, you can work, you can be a barback or whatever it is, right? And then it's like this kind of fucking kingpin story.
Yeah.
And she's like working her way up the ranks at maybe she pulls this heist mm-hmm. at Jabba's or something like that. Or she gets sucked into some sort of like, do you know what I mean? Like, it's
So the thing, I hear you. And also in Jabba, you can introduce some wacky, zany side characters. In my head, this is what I have going on. What if it was like C-3PO, but like a hot C-3PO? You know what I'm saying? So like at the end, it's just like a hot droid dude. Will is thrown off his headphones and has run across the room. But that was just what I was thinking about.
So it's Jude Law from AI.
Yeah, like a hot C-3PO.
But he's got to still be a robot.
He's like a robot.
He doesn't have skin.
Okay. He's got like a six-pack and like metal abs.
Okay, so wait, he looks like a robot.
Yes.
Okay.
But a hot robot. Okay.
I know the boys over at ILM will whip it together, but the point is,
I'm typing in hot robot. I just need to get a sense of what a hot robot looks like. They're mostly just
imagine C-3PO but with like a bigger chin and like a metal pompadour and like broader shoulders and like just a more like a C-3PO meets Johnny Bravo.
Yeah, basically.
With the six-pack.
Okay. Yeah.
And he's like a Magic Mike robot.
Oh my God. He's sexy dancing.
I mean, he essentially looks like Iron Man. Just imagine if Iron Man was better. The shape of Iron Man is very sexy. You guys are giving me grief. Like, really, Iron Man? I'm like, guys, just trust me.
Hey, listen, Tony Stark knows about proportions, all right?
Yeah. Oh, my God.
He's got a good silhouette going on here.
Okay. All right.
So on Peru's on.
So they're in Jabba's palace. She meets Hot 3PO.
Okay. But again, I think you start because the fun is going to be the audience is going to be like, here's why I think you, just in terms of the hook, the start is, you would like start at like the dinner, like it's this wife, she's preparing her meal, she's preparing blue milk, and you're like, oh shit, is that blue milk? And you get that dinner table scene. And it's like, and then you get the argument afterwards, and you see her life. She's like, I'm fucking miserable, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. She goes off to whatever the quest is. She goes off to get groceries or O&O's money. He's like, hey, drop off this package. Oh, he's just like, go drop off this package. And she's like, what is it? Like, it's like, God, get off my ass, Beru. Just go do your shit. It's like, man, Beru's life is miserable.
Get off my bantha nuts.
But then the trick is the audience is thinking, like, shit, when does she come back? And then when she's coming back and you see the flames, the eyes are like, oh my God, she wasn't there. Like, they're sitting there waiting for you to connect the dots. And so you twist it on them. Okay.
Yeah.
But yes, it would be what she's returning is something for Jabba. And you know what? Maybe she just fucking gets some. Maybe she's about to turn it. And she's like, you know what? Fuck away. I'm not turning this.
Oh,
in.
That's really good. Yeah. That's really good.
I'm tired of this shit.
She's pissed off, and so she throws it over a cliff. Yeah. And then Jabba's like, where the fuck is my cut? Where's my spice, woman? Like, and she's like, oh shit, I fucked up. And then, of course, she gets down there and has been torn to shreds by methed out Jawas or not twitching.
Well, she needs
around,
to go back and get it. She needs to go back and get it.
Oh, that's go. Okay, yes.
It's like her first quest. And maybe they don't. So, okay.
Here's the movie. It's Jackie Brown with Aunt Beru.
Yes, yes.
That's the movie.
Yes.
Fucking Jabba the Hutt is Samuel L. Jackson. Dash Rendar is Max Cherry.
Sexy C-3PO is Iron Man. It shows up halfway through. Okay. But yes. So she's like, it's a freaking middle-aged woman who's had enough of the shit at her household. She's like, are you kidding me? He's like, I work my ass off. Owen doesn't
I know he's
respect
fucking
me.
Someone on the
yeah,
side.
Yeah, she finds out. That's, oh my God, that's how you start the movie, is yes, she's like, she's cleaning up or something and she notices something. So then that scene that's all is added. Now when you watch A New Hope, you can't help but be like, Beru just found out she's getting cheated
it's
on in that scene.
It's her best friend.
Oh shit, it's her best
you
friend.
You do that scene like the one nice person.
Owen's not
her-
been going to bingo. She's been on Friday nights. He's not going to bingo. He's been banging her best friend.
You do. There's the one nice scene is there's another lady farmer like at the farm next door, and she goes over to borrow some blue milk. She did get blue milk for dinner.
Yes! Oh my God. Okay.
And then it's her friend's like, hey, Beru, like blah, blah, blah. She's like, oh, we're besties, right? And then she finds out that she and Owen are having an affair.
Yes.
And then, yeah, so she goes, and then Owen's like, go buy more blue milk at the store. Take this package. Yeah. He's watching the space game. And
the space game?
He's watching pod racing on his.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. There you go. Yeah,
I love we just destroyed Owen's character in this movie. It's like,
so
Owen's now like a domestic abuser, horrible, just crime riddled.
But like, no. But again, I like that. It's housewife character, not housewife. But again, sort of like button down woman gets sucked into this world of crime because she angrily throws the package off the cliff, and then maybe either Jabba the Hutt winds up with it. And that's why she has to infiltrate Jabba's to go get it. Right? Like Owen has been like it's another crime, Prince Shizor or another crime lord from Star Wars, like they're a rival Hutt. Right?
So
now she's got to go get that package to make it right. I love that.
Yeah.
Okay, that's a really good, again, it feels
I'm trying
like
to, I'm trying
Leonard
to tie
movie.
This together in a way, because yes, I like that she gets in this underground. I like that she had this package that was required to, Jabba the Hutt needed it.
Yeah.
She said, fuck it. She didn't turn it in. She goes back home. The place is on fire. It couldn't get worse, right? Oh, no, surprise, Jabba the Hutt's behind you. And he's like, I came here to get my fucking package. What the fuck happened?
Yeah.
And she's like, oh, I thought you did this. She's like, no. It's like, and then he's like, well, I'm taking you. Like, you're better than nothing. And now she's enslaved.
It's probably not literally Jabba. It's probably one of Jabba's minions.
Do you want to do that? Or do you want the stakes of she's got to go get this package?
Oh, I guess that makes, that's right. So he's like, give me, you still owe me this.
Yeah.
Oh shit, that's my one.
You owe me 50,000 credits or whatever. Yeah. Like I like that kind of thing or whatever.
I like it. Actually, I like the cheating because it also rather than her just being like petulant, I like that. Again, it's like a moment of rage when she throws it off the cliff. It's like her husband's cheating. It's just she's just miserable. She's just in a moment of rage and sorrow, throws it off, and
What's cool is you make it a MacGuffin. So you do, again, Owen is just becoming the seediest character. But like, if you do, Owen had to pull some job for, or he was the getaway driver for some heist or something like that. The land speeder.
Or like maybe the heist was like a really dry
or
heist.
Even if it was just that they're like, we need you to stash this shit at your house for 24 hours while the heat lies down. And then you got to go drop it off or whatever.
Keep it moist for us.
Oh, my God.
Oh, man.
All right.
15 minutes.
What I was trying to get to was, can this also, I know we're throwing a lot of movies in here from Stalgar Group back to Jackie Brown. I'm just trying to think if there's a way, since she's an anthropologist, we're saying, is that the way she overcomes Jabba is essentially becomes Abru is Lawrence of Arabia, and the Tusken Raiders are essentially the different tribes across Tatooine, and she's going to bring them together.
Well, but she can never, but here's the thing, though, like, because Jabba's still there by Return of the Jedi. So it's like, to me, it's like, it feels like she needs to get her victory and get off planet. And then, some, like, and in that way, then she can meet Han Solo at some, like, space station bar. Like, she's just got her freedom. And then, like, Solo swaggers in. You hear, and it's like, oh, shut up, Chewie. I know what I'm doing.
Her team is sexy C-3PO.
Yes.
And then I do think you can do that. She gets a touch. Like, she has Tusken Raider bodyguard.
You could also do something that it's like, maybe I'm like, do we need Han Solo in this, as fun as that is? Because you could also do just like her rising to power as a fucking rival to Jabba the Hutt. But you could do, again, like, I like that, maybe, again, if it's this MacGuffin, right? Yeah. Like, it's an Imperial Enigma code machine, right? And they've fucking stolen it from the Imperials.
Yeah.
And, like, it's this really hot item that they were going to sell it for a lot of money.
Yeah.
And then she angrily got pissed off and threw it over a cliff, right?
Yeah.
And the fucking Tusken Raiders have it. And so she, or like you do, or somebody winds up, again, it's like, I like tracking this MacGuffin as a way to get your story. And again, it's this person who had no agency in her life, and now she's forced to, she is forced to infiltrate a Tusken tribe. But then it gets stolen at the last minute by Jabba the Hutt, and she gets, here's what you do.
Okay,
this is dope. Your first sequence is she infiltrates this Tusken tribe to find it, right? Because they're going to sell it. They find a bunch of scrap, and it's like in this pile or whatever. And so she finds them. She infiltrates them. She befriends another Tusken.
Yeah.
And you do. They get raided by slavers.
Okay.
And so she gets enslaved with the other Tusken Raiders, and they take her hood off, and you're like, oh, you speak English? Perfect. You're working in the bar. Right.
Then
Jabba, and meanwhile, like this piece of loot is in Jabba's palace. He doesn't understand what he has. Right.
Yeah.
So she's trying to work an angle to go steal it because these bounty hunters are looking for her and they're still breathing down her neck. One of them shows up and sees her at the bar and it's like, are you fucking kidding me? Like, you're working here now or whatever. Again, it's like, you know.
So Jabba's not the one who wanted. These bounty hunters did.
I think it's someone else. You know what I mean? And it's like, but now it's going to spark a mob war of Jabba the... Okay, you know what would be cool? Okay, this is perfect.
It's Yojimbo.
Yes, Yojimbo almost, yeah.
Oh my God, how many movie references are going to be in this episode?
It's how Yojimbaru got her groove back from Jabba the Hutt. You would do like, again, like, because I like the idea of this female bounty hunter. There's other characters. So this bounty, like, she winds up at Jabba's, right? And she's a slave now, and she's trying to fucking get that thing. And then you would do, at some point, this bounty hunter shows up at Jabba's to turn in another person. And he just sees Baru, and he's like, what the fuck is going on? And she's like, dude, the thing is here. We got to steal it, right?
Yeah.
And that's how it pivots into a heist movie.
Okay.
Do you know what I mean?
Okay, so let's, yes.
Act one, she goes out for blue milk. She throws the package off the cliff. Everyone's pissed off. She owes Jabba the Hutt a shitload of money, right?
Yeah.
And so she's got to go get it back. Act two, she's infiltrated. Actually, no, like, act one, end of act one, the house is burned down. Act two, she finds out about this fucking debt that she owes to Jabba the Hutt, and she decides she figures out the Tusken Raiders have it. She's got to go infiltrate. Act three is she infiltrates the Tusken Raiders. She gets the thing, but she gets enslaved by Jabba the Hutt. Now she's working in Jabba's bar. I don't know if these are act breaks. I'm just trying to walk through this.
Yeah, yeah.
She's working in Jabba's bar. She's befriending the musicians or whatever. But like this
we just play one song.
Yeah. This MacGuffin is in Jabba's palace, and she's got to steal it. I imagine she tries to steal it, and it goes bad.
Oh, Salacious Crumb totally finds out.
Mm-hmm. Maybe that's how she runs into Han Solo?
So,
okay, sorry.
Even those first four, okay, so let's think about, like, what is she going through each one? Like, what's the arc for her emotionally? So, like, the first one, because especially if the first one ends with, like, the house being burned down, so, like, okay, so this is her status quo. She's a woman who's essentially given up at this point. Like, she's a pushover.
Life,
she's settled for Owen. She's settled for her life. Like, Luke's getting ready to leave the place. Like, she's not even really much of his mom anymore. Owen doesn't let her parent.
Mm-hmm.
Luke's already going. Like, right. Even if he doesn't go to the, like, you know, it is what it is. Like, he's going to, like.
How much time do we have, Freddie?
We are just over 10 minutes remaining.
Okay.
Okay. So the moment, like, her inciting incident is when she realizes Owen's cheating on her. I think that's, like, the realization that she's, I think she's finally, that's the moment when she's finally accepted, like, I've wasted my life, right? It's like, I think she's, like, just barely been moving through. It's like, it's, there's a nice status quo going on. Mm-hmm. But with this, it's like, she, it's the moment she looks in the mirror, like, girl, you settled.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
like,
yeah.
Like, this is some bullshit. And this is, like, that's a, it's an existential crisis for her, right? It's like a late life crisis. She's like, what have I been doing?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've already done everything I can. I raised this kid. I'm here. And
yeah,
now,
yeah. We so, got okay. 10 minutes.
Okay, so... So, but what, okay, so I get all the, like, the enslaved by job I'm trying to get, like, what's her per act? So, like, what is
this
going
is
through with her?
Well, again, it's like the whole family burns down, right?
Yes.
Like, her whole, and again, it is actually nicely timed with the cheating thing, that now it's like she's this completely blank slate, right? But again, it's like, again, she's just the person who was the pushover and who didn't, you know, have any say in her life, right?
Yeah.
And then you do, she has nothing, she's freaking out, and now someone is coming and is forcing her to act and take agency, right? This bounty hunter's like, where's that fucking package? And she's like, I don't have it. It's like, well, you better get it or I'm going to fucking kill you,
yeah.
Right? So now it's this person who was very risk averse and, you know, a homebody, like, she's got to go figure out what happened. You're watching her grow in terms of her agency, right? Like, she... Do you know what I mean? Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. I'm trying to... So, like, to me, it's really... It still comes to that act one to act two. It's like, for example, like, I could see if this bounty hunter came and was like, hey, you know, Owen owes us money. She's like, I've fucking done enough with Owen. Like, that's no one go talk to. I'm trying to think of, like, what...
Okay, can I just...
Yeah, yeah.
All right. She starts by, like, again, the act break is she is going to have to go pay off her husband's
yeah.
debt, right?
Yeah.
And that's going to lead to this person who's never gone on an adventure
yeah.
since she was young to go have to go on a new adventure,
yeah.
right? And then so the first she goes to on the adventure, right? Like, that's
yeah.
your threshold thing. What if you do, like, her kind of character moment is, like, fuck Owen's debt. Like,
yeah.
fuck giving the money back to whatever.
Yeah.
I'm betting on myself now.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, what if you do that's the
so maybe
kind
that's
of thing
the character you get. You're talking about that younger bounty hunter character.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I feel like, again, somebody would point to, like, somebody would be like, you're like your husband cheated on you. You lost everything. And you're sitting here fucking in your 60s still trying to clean up his messes.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, it's like maybe this, like, she goes and she throws it off the cliff. She goes down there. She sees tracks. She's Tusken Raiders. She goes to infiltrate it. She's, you know, off on on bruise on the sand dunes looking or whatnot. And again, it's like the classic, like, thief finds another thief. She goes to get it. And there's this young girl is also there because she saw these Tusken Raiders all, you know, bouncing around excited. She's like, oh, they must have found some shit. I'm going to go steal it from the Tusken Raider camp.
I don't understand why this isn't the person hunting her. It's just another rando person.
So somebody, we're confused. So who's, okay, walk through. Who's, when do they start
Owen
hunting?
Owes this money,
yes.
right? Or he owes the MacGuffin, right?
Yes.
So someone comes looking for the MacGuffin from Owen to pick
yes.
it up, and Amberu threw it off the thing, right?
Okay, yes.
So now I have two characters that I could at the very least see, okay, here's maybe what you
yeah,
do,
yeah.
is again, if it's Dash Randor, it's this female bounty hunter or whatever, she's like, I lost it. He's like, well, we better go fucking find it or I'm going to have to kill you, right?
Okay.
So then it's they have to go track it down, right?
Yeah.
And then, shit, these Tusken Raiders have it, right? So then Beru goes and has to infiltrate the Tusken Raiders. That guy can't infiltrate the Tusken Raiders, right?
Yeah,
so again, it's I'm thinking of Romancing the Stone with Kathleen Turner, where she's this neurotic writer. Michael Douglas is the dashing smuggler, but by the end of the story, she's the one saving him,
right? Yeah,
yeah. So then maybe you do, like, she and this guy team up. She goes into the Tusken Raiders while he's watching from the outside, trying to see what's going on with her. You know, maybe he's trying to do this kind of, like, who are they going to screw each other over or
yeah,
screw
yeah.
each other type thing. And then you would do, again, she gets captured and gets taken to Jabba's palace,
yeah.
right? And he thinks, she fucking stiffed me. She fucking ran off on
yeah,
me,
yeah.
right? Because she was supposed to meet up with, she literally radios him, like, I've got the thing, meet me up at this, you know, meet up with me at X and Y and Z point. And then she gets abducted without being able to tell him. So he's like, oh, she screwed me over or whatever.
Yeah,
then
yeah, yeah.
he meets up with her at the palace. They have to steal it from Jabba the Hutt. And they get caught and... She has the thing, right?
Yeah.
And it's like, am I going to go...
Well, yeah, you do that. She has a thing, but he's caught.
He's caught. And then the thing allows her... She's like, what am I going to do with this thing now, right?
Yeah.
I could go pay off my debts. I could go meet whoever,
yeah,
right? And maybe she even goes off to go do it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then that's when she runs into Han Solo, right? Because
mm-hmm.
she, like, again, like, it's... They're trying to get off... Oh, yeah. Okay, all right. Yeah. Because you do... They're escaping, right, from
yeah.
stealing, right? Because they run away from Jabba's palace, and then they're
yeah.
getting chased by Jabba's spaceship. We've never... What kind of spaceship
yeah.
does Jabba the Hutt have? We don't know. We've never seen it.
His
dope-ass space barge is
yeah.
hunting them down, right? They get disabled. She's hiding in the cargo vent with the thing. The guy gets pulled out, right? It's this tragic moment.
Yeah.
She's fires up a distress signal. She gets picked up by Han Solo, right? Yeah. And it's like, where to or whatever, right? And then it's, I don't know. This is getting away from me. We're really trying to make this Han Solo thing work.
No, I think I have a thing for Han Solo.
Okay, how much time, Freddie?
5 minutes.
Okay, yeah. here's how I think you do the Han Solo thing. I'm just going to say Dash Rendar. This is, okay, give me another name for this guy or girl. Any name.
Amy Sherman Palladino.
Okay, Amy Sherman Palladino. It's a girl. Okay.
Jackson. Jackson Seib.
Jackson Seib. Here's what I would say. The twist or the thing. The thing. She's not going to take shit anymore. She gets fucked at the end by Jackson.
He screws her over. Oh, yeah, of course.
Yeah. It's they get it. They have this connection. He hears her story. She's like, that's a tough life and all stuff. And it's like the final thing. It's like, he's like, you know what? It's bullshit that you owe this money from your husband, blah, blah. And, you know, they even talk about, like, you know, when this is done, it's like, you know what? I'm not going to kill you. Maybe we'll find some way to, or whatever. We'll give you some money or whatnot. It's like they get, my point is like they get it. He escapes. It's like him going off on an escape pod and be like, sorry, Brew, shit sucks. Like
her
debts are cleaned and whatnot, but she's alive, but she has nothing anymore. Mm-hmm. Like this guy doesn't help her. Like she thinks, okay, maybe something finally breaks for Brew. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't. She's left, like, she's alive, but she's left with nothing. Her family's dead.
Debts are paid. If you were going to do
she
that.
She goes to a bar. And then she hears Han Solo's story, and she can't take another fucking selfish asshole who's just complaining. And she's like, are you fucking kidding me? And she just berates this guy in front of everybody. And all of her anger for the patriarchy and selfish men and all his asshole comes out, and she slaps him around, and he's like,
oh, okay, I got it. Mm-hmm. I got it. Okay, all right. So, again, you do this on a spaceship, right? And then you do... the guy, because they pissed off Jabba the Hutt. Yeah. Like, that's the consequence, right? In their way out of Jabba's, blasting their way out with the MacGuffin, right? She destroys his priceless Ming vase or whatever it's going to be. Like, they kill one of the Rancors. Jabba the Hutt is fucking furious at Amperu, right? So they're blasting off. They're literally going to, like, you know, like, Jabba, but Jabba's got, like, the leverage on them. And he tells the smuggler, you can keep the fucking MacGuffin. I don't give a shit. I want Beru, right? And then so he bails on Beru. He's like, I got mine. Peace, Beru. And he shoots out in the fucking escape pod or whatever.
Yeah.
But then you do hurt. The ship is disabled. Mm-hmm. Like, that's the deal. Or even Jabba the Hutt's like, you can have it. Don't worry about it. I'll pay you double if you disable that ship. Mm-hmm. And you leave Beru there so one of my guys can pick her up and bring her back to me. Right. So he bails on her. Yeah. She's on the ship alone, literally the most alone she's ever been. And the ship in the middle of nowhere waiting to go get executed by Jabba the Hutt.
Yeah.
Fucking guy who picks her up. Han Solo, on his way to pay off Jabba the Hutt.
Yeah.
Because he's like, yeah, great, Jabba. I'm on my way to that right there. Please don't kill me. Yeah, I'll pick her up whenever you want. I'll throw her in free. Yeah, great.
I want to be clear. She does have Hot 3PO to keep her company.
Yeah, and Hot 3PO's dead. Hot 3PO,
you're right.
Tragic heist accident as he's escaping. Oh, yeah,
he sacrifices himself for that, for sure.
Jabba the Hutt was in love with the 3PO droid. He was Jabba's favorite. And that was the worst part. Not just that he was destroyed, but that she turned him against Jabba.
Oh my God, that's so good.
Yeah, so that's the end of Act 4. Okay, so yeah. So then she gets picked up by this cocky cowboy smuggler, like he's like, I was gonna help the rebellion, but whatever. It's got Luke, blah blah blah. And she fucking flips out.
Well, and he's bringing her back. I mean, he's going in slave trade again.
Yeah, so she forces him at gunpoint to fucking turn that ship again, she flips out, she appeals to his better nature. What the fuck is wrong with you? Yeah. God damn it, you're such a selfish piece of shit. He's like, all right, lady. And then they go. So she convinces Han Solo to go save the day. She steals his money and pieces out.
I was going to take the final theme, because I'm pretty sure we're out, is that...
1 minute.
Okay. She is somebody who's settled and has no purpose in her life anymore, right? She gets this purpose, but it's an artificial purpose. It's still repaying the debts of all stuff. The frustration with Han Solo and this bounty hunter, all these people, is it's these people who... They have the luxury of deciding not to give a shit about something real.
Yes.
She's never had that. When she meets Han Solo and she hears about the Death Star, that's a real purpose. And she can't understand how Han Solo can just fucking ignore that. And she goes back with him to help out the Death Star. And then once she's done it, she can fucking take a little time for herself because she earned it.
Yeah. Right? She's going to have a vacation.
Yeah.
What I love about that is you can be playing Alderaan and the story of the rebellion in the background. Yes. She's hearing about it. And her heart breaks when she hears about Alderaan. She wishes she could have done something about it. But she's in the middle of dealing with this bullshit. Yeah. Right? And so then she flips out on Han Solo. I was going to say, it's definitely Dash Rendar.
Yeah.
And then because he's just, you're taking this other cool smuggler guy and he's just an asshole. And you can have
it's just another Uncle Owen, essentially. It's just another guy that she's.
10 seconds.
Yes, these shitty garbage men. All right. Okay. Act one, she's on the planet, she's getting cheated on, the whole thing burns down. Act two, she finds out she owes this money, she teams up with Ash Render to get it back. Act three, they go to the Tusken Raiders to get it. She gets enslaved by Jabba, he thinks she screwed her over. Act four, they steal it from Jabba's. Act five...
And she gets dumped.
But he betrays her, yeah. And leaves her for dead. Act five, she gets picked up by Han Solo and convinces him to go back and blow up the Death Star with Luke, and then she steals Han Solo's money and pieces out at the end. Your sort of passive house farmer's wife has become this badass space rebel.
Yeah.
And that is Beru. A Star Wars Story. When we come back, the quick, very quick elevator pitch segment that
Kathleen's elevator once again.
We'll do 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
Okay, God, I'm gonna do it again.
That's a one.
No, come on.
That's ready. Give me no. That's ready. That's straight dice.
Oh my that's God. Straight, let me see this dice.
That's straight dice.
I'm rolling these from
now
on.
No, that's fine. Next
bullshit.
Time you're gonna roll it. That's straight dice.
Fuck, I'm so bad at these.
No,
okay.
That was funny last time.
Okay, here we go. Hey, Kathleen. Oh, hi. How's it going? I got a pitch for you. Ooh. It's a pitch in the Star Wars universe.
We're looking for those.
We got. Remember Aunt Beru?
My favorite
Uncle
character.
Owen and Aunt Beru? Yep. Well, about to become your most favorite character by a much greater margin. Beru, a Star Wars story. It's Jackie Brown meets Star Wars. We start with a 60-year-old aging... Fuck, I'm so bad at this.
No, keep going. You got me. Jackie Brown meets Star Wars.
Yeah, but yeah. Wait, but Freddy, doesn't Aunt Beru die?
Here's the twist.
Oh, okay.
Here's the twist that all the Star Wars fans are going to go nuts for. That's not her. We only see the corpse. That is the side piece of ass that Uncle Owen's been cheating on. Yeah, that's right. Uncle Owen's a piece of shit. He's in bad with all of Tatooine's underworld, and she gets drawn in. She has to pay back those debts.
You're at a minute right
ugh,
now.
That's tough.
Well, I gotta say that hook was fantastic. Whoever came up with that,
God
I'm sure you
it.
Must have come with that, was brilliant. I'm a little iffy on the rest
hey,
of the
hey,
details.
Hey, hold on. Let me add one detail. I stopped the elevator doors. Hold on.
Oh,
hold
my
on.
God.
One thing, really
you're
quick.
You're not gonna kill me, are you?
You know C-3PO?
Yeah.
Imagine him, but hot.
Okay. Can you please start the elevator up again, if you don't mind? All right.
Dude, the minute's impossible. I'm so bad at that.
I love it. That was great. Okay.
Thanks. I'll be here next week.
Well, I don't think we got that one sold. But,
this is all of you hearing Matt and I's secret plan to get Freddie better at pitching stuff.
I can pitch just fine. It's just I need a little more prep. Here, let me see the phone real quick.
All right.
That's very good.
I want to be clear. I pitch hella
all right,
good
all right,
when
right,
I'm
you know
prepped.
What, all right, give me one more elevator. You be Kathleen. I'm going to do this pitch off.
Okay, all right. Hold on. Just so you guys don't have to suffer through 2 weeks of me.
Hey, Kathleen, Will uh-huh. Campos from
oh,
Rocket
hi, Will.
Jump.
Oh,
funny
hey,
running
hi,
into you because I have an idea for a Star Wars movie.
Hit
you.
Me.
So, Aunt Beru, I know that the first thing you're thinking, wait a second, isn't Aunt Beru dead?
Yeah.
Here's the twist. She's not. That wasn't her corpse. It was Uncle Owen's mistress's corpse.
Oh, my God.
Our story starts with Aunt Beru going out for blue milk. She comes back. The house is burned down. Her adopted son, Luke, is nowhere to be found. Her husband's dead. She just found out that he's been cheating on her. Her whole life is a lie. And what's worse, Uncle Owen was in debt to the mob. He had a MacGuffin that we figured out. that he was keeping for them, and Aunt Beru in her fit of rage throws it over the side of a cliff. The next day, Dash Rendar, that's right, from Shadows of the Empire, comes
looking
for it. I love
that N64 game.
Comes looking for it, and he's like, "Lady, I need that thing, or because otherwise you're in a lot of trouble." The two of them team up. It's basically Romancing the Stone, where this dashing hot young smuggler and this older lady go on an adventure together. She's never been on an adventure in her life. She's just a farmer's wife, but now she's infiltrating a Tusken Raider camp to find this thing. She gets enslaved and has to go to Jabba's palace,
three,
and it turns into a heist.
Two,
they leave.
One.
He betrays her. Bing. End of the movie. She's the one who convinces Han Solo to turn that Millennium Falcon back around.
Damn, I don't know if got to that ending, but it ended.
That's
pretty
brilliant. Yeah, pretty good.
Also, hot C-3PO.
Hot C-3PO.
I will say this.
Here's real quick. You leave that one. That's your back pocket as they're walking away. Oh, one more thing. It's your lose the.
Luckily, on our writer's room board, we literally had how do we make a Star Wars Romancing the Stone, and that fits the bill perfectly. So
excellent.
Yeah.
All right. Okay, yeah, Will is much better than me. Anyway, regardless, thank you everybody who has been tweeting about and reviewing the show. We've got a big list of names that we got that we're starting to build a database of. So if you want your name to be featured in one of these as we try and riff, we can't spend our valuable time as we're riffing on these stories trying to come up with dope names. All of you guys probably have dope names, so send them to us at RJStoryBreak on Twitter so that you may hear yourself get used. And by the way, no guarantees of context. You might be a good character, you might be a bad character.
But I want to throw one out for our boys Leonard Stravish and Jackson. I think the hot C-3PO character should be named Leo Jackson.
Ooh.
There you go.
I like that.
It's a very male stripper name.
Leo
name.
Jackson is the hot C-3PO. Okay.
We're up on iTunes. Head on over there. Give us a review if you like what you hear. And anything else to add, boys? I think we did a pretty bang-up good job this week.
I wasn't sure where Baru would go, but...
I feel like I say this all the time. I would watch the shit out of this movie.
I watch the shit out of that movie.
I would as well. So until next week, we break it, you buy it. See you later, everybody.
Bye.